I was going to ask you about the question of checkpoint inhibitors in breast cancer, particularly in triple negative disease. We saw some more data at ASCO on that. Where are we today in terms of trying to understand where checkpoint inhibitors might fit in practice? And are there any situations, particularly a patient like this, metastatic triple negative, kind of getting beyond approved therapies, where you have attempted to or have used the checkpoint inhibitor outside a trial?
So I have not used a checkpoint inhibitor outside of a trial. I must say we've been blessed in having a series of trials, so I haven't had to pursue that. And I don't know what the experience is in people who have tried to get off, you know, kind of compassionate use checkpoint inhibition. Probably getting better as there are more drugs out there. So my own experience with it has been, you know, I think similar to what the clinical trials would suggest. I have had patients in whom we try it and the cancer just blows through it and we see exactly zero evidence of any impact. I have had patients develop immune-related adverse events. I've had patients with hypophysitis. I've had patients with thyroiditis. I've had patients with colitis. I have also had a patient who was on one of the original Pembro studies years ago, received 2 years of Pembro in, I believe, the third line setting, had disease control, per protocol came off therapy with the agreement that if and when she progressed again, she would go back on therapy, and it's been 2 more years.
Wow.
And she's had no therapy.
Wow.
And this is triple negative disease. So I think, you know, it's an amazing, it's a very different experience than what you have with, you know, tumor-directed therapies. When it works, I think you can see these amazing long-lasting responses that may in fact not require much additional therapy. You know, conversely, when it doesn't work, it really doesn't work at all.
Well, of course, that's, you know, it's in everybody's mind. I mean, even in lung cancer, the response rate's 20%, but you do see these prolonged responses. I kind of get the feeling that even in triple negative breast cancer, it's not going to be anywhere near 20%. But I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, even if it were 5%, if there was a 5% chance of getting a 4-year disease control when there are no other options, it kind of sounds inviting. Is it?
Oh, sure. I mean, gosh, you know, 20% may be much. We may get smarter about ways to do this. I think, as you know, many of the trials are trying to, you know, leverage other ways to kind of, you know, boost the neoantigen load or the mutational burden or, you know, kind of immune modulatory, you know, suppressing the Tregs and giving these drugs a chance to work. You know, if we could do it in 1 in 5, but in those 1 in 5, you have the kind of disease control. And in this case, I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to have to treat this woman again. It's been 2 years. That would be something that would be worth pursuing. Boy, it'd be nice if we had a few more of these things so it's more than 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 or whatever it ends up settling out to be. But yeah, I mean, this is different from the hot new cytotoxic, where the experience is that you may see an effect, but they tend to be relatively short-lived. And so I think that's where all the excitement comes from. It's not from the response rate numbers, because as you note, they're fairly modest, really.